At Armstrong, your connectivity is backed by local technicians, our 24-7 network operations team, and our 24-7 customer service center. Armstrong, unmatched employees, unmatched customer care, unmatched fiber network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Armstrong in the Loop podcast. I'm your host, Seth Prentice. And today, I'm very excited to have back on the show, Megan Shane, Executive Director of the Connected Nest. Megan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It feels like it's been a while since we last spoke, but every time we have you on, it's always for a great reason, a good purpose, typically a program or a fundraiser you're working on. But this opportunity has come up that you are now an executive director of a newly created organization. So we thought it would be great to have you on today to share with us about this new organization, the Connected Nest. So Megan, what is this wonderful new organization?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Connected Nest is a vision that I put together with one of my peers, Alicia Leggett, and she and I have both been serving in the community in different capacities for the past few years in providing mental health support in the community and also looking to bring people together to connect around common challenges surrounding the journey to and through parenthood. And Alicia's passion and focus has been in the infertility community and being able to support those that are going through that. And my passion is in supporting women who are just becoming moms and are in their postpartum period of the first year of raising a baby, and then ongoingly being able to support parents as they continue to have more children or be able to move through the different developmental stages. So Connected Nest was our answer to that because it makes room for all of those different individuals, and it really centers around the family unit and being able to find support for all those different transitions that one goes through.
Now, you started a program, I would say about 4 or 5 years ago. It's right around the time of COVID, maybe right before it, the Empowering Moms Program, I do believe. Can you shed some light on that? Because I do believe that's still a part of the Connected Nest, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, it's the biggest part really of what we do, because what Empowering Moms Program does is weekly we have groups for women who are just bringing home a baby, and we welcome them into the circle, and they are able to sit with each other and have conversations around the challenges and the transitions that come with having a baby and then raising a baby throughout that first year and what that means for mom. I always joke often that after you have a baby, all the spaces are about the baby, and there's very little opportunity to actually talk about what's going on for you. And yet that is generally the biggest impact on a woman's life, is when they're first bringing home a kid and shifting their roles and, you know, the expectations that are on them. So Empowering Moms Program focuses very strongly on weekly groups for new moms. We have groups in Zelianople, as well as this past year we added groups in Bellevue so that we could serve multiple counties. And then we also provide bi-weekly group for toddler moms. So if they have 1 and 2 year olds, or maybe 1 and 2 year olds and a baby, they can come to the toddler play time with other moms and really be able to connect there as well, although it's harder, but that is the goal.
So, I know that you were getting a good response, you know, and then the pandemic hit, but then it still allowed moms to have a way almost to connect, because they felt, you know, some people feel alone during that period of time. So have you continued to grow because of that? Here we are, you know, 5 years into your program.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we have seen great growth. We did, during the pandemic, predominantly provide our weekly call. And we've maintained the opportunity to connect through a call because some people are either too far away to be able to come to in-person events, or maybe they're too anxious about bringing baby out just yet, or they need that convenience. I've had people on the call from other states, including Florida, New York. And we also have the in-person stuff that has grown and has consistently spread to reach new people. We get referrals from a lot of different sources, largely word of mouth. Sometimes it's, an OBGYN who sees a mom who could really use a support system and connection. Facebook groups, I see Empowering Moms program conversations pop up all the time in those groups because moms really are looking for support and connection, and others who have found it want to help them to connect and champion that.
Well, that's incredible. So I do see you have two other programs, and you briefly touched on the one for sure, which is talking about fertility. And I've known some people personally that have had troubles going through it. One is getting ready to give birth, thankfully, after many tries. So talk to us more about your Facing Fertility program, because I think this is becoming a more talked about. I don't know the proper ways to put it, but it's just being, people are talking about it and being less shameful to do so, where I think it's been such a voodoo of, oh, that person can't talk about that because, they're not able to have a child.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very important topic to be to remove the stigma around and
There
to
it is. Yep.
remove that discomfort around it and to just normalize it, even in the groups that I've done for so many years of new moms. A lot of times it would come up of, it took me years to get pregnant. This is my baby that's, from fertility treatments. Or sometimes I have women who came to groups from adoption or from surrogacy, lots of different paths to bringing home a baby. And infertility is something that is way more common than anybody realizes. It was just Infertility Awareness Month last month, and one in six couples face infertility. And
Wow.
that is not at all, that doesn't exclude anybody really. We all know somebody who has faced infertility, and that's not just in the first time they get pregnant. Some people face infertility the second time they're trying to have a child, and it's a lot harder than they ever experienced the first time, or they experience miscarriage or loss in between. So they have had some children that just they never were able to bring home. So these are a lot of really big challenges and things that it can be very isolating to have conversations around. And it can be very hard for your friends or family to have conversations with you if they see you going through it. So our Facing Fertility program has in-person groups for those going through primary, and we have some women's only groups, and then we also have some couples groups so that both participants in the relationship can talk about it. And then we also have a secondary infertility call that happens monthly for people who've maybe already had a child or more than one child, but are going through infertility in an attempt to have another child, which is also a very challenging conversation to have with different people and can bring with it a lot of other barriers to finding support and places to talk about that uniqueness.
I actually was going to ask you if you did have, group therapy where the spouse can be there because, or the whoever they may be with, because I know your programs are typically for moms or soon to be moms. It's kind of nice to see being able to have also the other person that's, also impacted by this too. They might not be the one physically, trying to birth the child, but they're the ones that are still have to be A, the support system, and they also had to go through loss as well. Just might not be internalizing that pain and of loss as much as the mother would.
Yes, it's absolutely important, and it is even more taboo probably for males to have these kinds of conversations. And so opening up that opportunity, we have a husband and wife team who help to facilitate that conversation when there are male partners that come to a group for the infertility conversations when we do couples dinners, and we try to get sponsorships in the community or donations of food so that they can sit down and have a dinner together and with others who are going through that and be able to connect just around those, because infertility is absolutely not just a female impacted need. And it's also fertility treatments can be pursued by women who are single by choice. Fertility treatments are applicable to LGBTQ couples, and it really impacts a wide range of communities. So it is really important to us to kind of continue to open new spaces for those conversations and be able to provide that.
Without getting into, actual conversations, is there a common theme, that pops up in the infertility circle in these group sessions that you're like, wow, this is the most common question that we get, or most common feeling that comes from these groups?
I really, the biggest feeling that a lot of people get is loneliness or isolation and loss of hope of knowing where things are going to go next. And one of the goals within our groups, because they're not in the mental health clinical space and yet they still focus on that, is to be able to provide that community perspective of how to take care of yourself throughout these challenges and how to not lose focus on moving forward and the next steps and the next steps. And to find solidarity with others can really just be very encouraging. And I know a lot of participants, couples as well as women, have really benefited from those conversations because they just realize, like, oh, I'm not the only one who's faced this. Or they hear from someone else, oh, it took me X amount of times, and that really helps give perspective to what they're going to, or they find new resources, which is also really important to be able to find additional connections or opportunities.
No, makes sense. You're equipping parents. I'm guessing that's a program. Can you tell us more about it? As that's one that's actually new to me, so I'm really interested in learning about this.
Yeah, absolutely. When we founded Connected Nest, one of the things we realized was that empowering moms has been around for so long. We really love and know that it's super important to focus on mom and to give her space to focus on herself. And just like in the fertility piece, we were talking about how both partners are impacted. Same with bringing home a baby, how, all parents are very impacted by that. And we continually see, is there a group for dads? Is there an opportunity for my husband to get connected? Is there an opportunity for my partner? And we also see different family dynamics, blended families, and additional extended family needs. So equipping parents is our way of creating future spaces, as well as applying some of what we were already doing to the whole family. And so we have, with that program, started to offer workshops that are open to both parents. So one of the workshops that we've consistently offered in the past year is baby wearing, and we've been able to share that information with both partners in the family. We've even had grandparents ask if they can come to that workshop, and absolutely. So our goal is really to be able to provide more parenting support in the future too. So we want to be able to support the different needs that might come up. So equipping parents is our program that we are hoping to see the most growth in the future through.
Well, and you all are doing a lot, and this, revolves around a common topic, which is mental health. And it just so happens that you taught me something, that it is Mental Health Month, but more specifically for our conversation today, Maternal Mental Health Month is currently going on. Can you explain more about it and the impact that you're having through Connected Nest on this month?
Absolutely. Yes. Maternal mental health is one of those conversations that we aim to normalize. So we live outside of the clinical space, but we get a lot of people who participate because they've been directed to us through a clinical space that they've connected with in the past, or they maybe are coming to us feeling very isolated, potentially anxious or depressed in their postpartum journey. And maternal mental health diagnosis affects one in five individuals in a postpartum period, which is really high. So, 2 out of 10 women, if they're sitting in group, will have a diagnosis. But one of the things I've learned over the years of working with women is that most women don't feel super comfortable being honest about what's going on with their mental health challenges. And even though it's evaluated a lot of times in pediatricians' offices and in a postpartum checkup, which is only there is only one postpartum checkup usually, and it's 6 weeks after you have a baby. Yeah.
What?
So it's very low. There's very little follow-up for the women who are having babies. And after that, all you see is the pediatrician whose primary patient is your baby. And so maternal mental health diagnosis is largely in the control of the woman to go ahead and get diagnosed, get support, seek support, which is hard to do when you're raising a baby because you're raising a baby and
Right.
you're taking care of their every minutes of needs. So in our group, we talk a lot about some of the day-to-day ways to take care of your mental health, to not forget about yourself, to not allow all of those frequent daily challenges to overwhelm you. And to sometimes even just normalize the challenges around mental health within motherhood transitions. Some people relate it to like an adolescent transition. Developmentally, it's a lot of newness. It's a lot of new responsibility. It's a lot of unknown as to what's coming next. And so it does require some extra support and conversation around it. And we just like to really continually do check-ins on how everyone's doing with mental health. I mean, to me, mental health is as equivalent to physical health because if your brain's not working the way that your brain needs to work, your day to day is going to be that much harder and you're not going to be able to thrive in that day to day. So, not forgetting about mom's mental health is really important. And that's just an ongoing normalizing conversation we want to have.
No, for sure. I know that people are going to ask how that they can help because, these programs all right now you're offering free to those that want to participate. So how can people help and support, especially right now during Maternal Mental Health Month and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate supporters in the community. We are always looking for donations and sponsorships, which people can go right to our connectedness.org website and see ways to donate right there. And then we are also running right now, it just went live, a What Moms Really Want raffle, which talks a little bit more beyond just some of the, basic gifts around Mother's Day. But what we really need is we need support, we need relaxation, we need opportunities to step away. So we had some amazing community organizations and businesses and members donate different items. And so our raffle is live until the end of May, and we will be picking winners then. And anybody can go ahead and purchase raffle tickets. You can purchase them and hand them over to a mom in your life so that they could be a potential winner, or for your own self. And I always joke that around Mother's Day, it's okay to buy yourself whatever it is you want. And also after Mother's Day, if you didn't get what you needed, you can go ahead and make sure that that happens. So that's one way. At the end of the month, the other thing that moms really need is to connect with one another and find that solidarity. And so we hold a community event. This will be our fourth year holding it in Cranberry, called the Speed Meet Mom's Night Out. And it was an event that came out of COVID that I kind of had continually seen women say, "Where can I meet other moms? How can I get to know them?" And these were women who were had older kids, not in that postpartum early baby stage. It's hard to go up to a mom at the playground and just start a conversation and then take that to the next step or get beyond the how old are your kids? Oh yeah, mine are this age. And it's hard to really create friendships when your life is oftentimes dictated by children's schedules and lives. So the speed meet is a chance for us to sit down with women. We have 50 women who came last year, and we do small groups and we have conversation starters. And I always say we cut straight to it. We talk about the real stuff and the actual conversation things that help us to form connections and friendships. And we are doing two speed meets this year. So we actually added one in Bellevue, as well as the Cranberry location. So we encourage any mom who might feel like she's not sure how to get to know others to grab their ticket and come join us. It's a really fun night.
And you have all of this actually through your website. I am on it currently, just going through it. If people want to hear, there are actual quotes from some of your moms that have gone through the program. This is all great. And your Bellevue one is at Joy and Movement. Is that a yoga studio?
It is a yoga studio. Yep,
Okay.
right there on Lincoln in center of Bellevue. Very
Nice.
accessible.
And then once again, Cranberry, you are at North Boundary Park. Oh, well, there we go. So I'll put both of those events inside of our show notes with the links. So if people would like to go right in, click it, you can get your tickets and make a donation while you're there so that we can continue offering these programs for moms and families in general. Megan, before we go, I do have to ask, how was the experience of being on WTAE as you were recently featured on one of the Sunday morning programs? Talk to us real quick about that, as I was amazed to see you on there and how great it is to know someone, especially in a featured story like that.
It was wonderful. Kelly Sasso was invested in understanding a little bit more about our infertility support groups and our program, and we got to go down and have a wonderful chat with her about what we're doing and the goal in reaching individuals who feel very alone and need that connection and want to continue to build those opportunities. So it was really neat to go down to the TV studio and have that very unusual experience of sitting in bright lights and cameras all around. But we had a lot of fun, and it was a really great opportunity to reach a wider audience in Pittsburgh.
Have you seen any increase in traffic to your website or people wanting to come and join one of your programs?
Yeah, we have seen some people connect with our infertility groups, which is wonderful because that is the hardest population to reach in general, unless they're getting referred by their doctor. A lot of times people are just very isolated and not really able to find that there are groups to connect with.
Oh, makes sense. Well, Megan, any last words for our listeners or something we might have missed in this wonderful conversation today?
I'm just grateful for the opportunity. We want to reach as many individuals who feel isolated and or who are looking for community because it really does make a big difference in how you're, moving through parenting because it's not really meant to be done alone. And so many people wonder where the village is, but we're building our own so that people can connect.
Well, I want to thank you and your entire team as you're doing something wonderful here and continue doing this because you're helping a lot of individuals and a lot of families grow or hopefully one day have a family. So thank you for all that you're doing. And we hope we've provided some outreach for you as well today. And you are always welcome back here at Armstrong in the Loop.
Thank you very much.
Well, to learn more about the Connected Nest, log on to connectednest.org or feel free to email the team at connectednest.org. For Armstrong in the Loop podcast, I'm Seth Prentice, keeping you in the loop.
Are you enjoying Armstrong in the Loop podcast? Great news! All past and current episodes are available on popular streaming apps and websites. Search Armstrong in the Loop podcast and subscribe today.
When it comes to internet service, you get it all with Zoom from Armstrong. There's unlimited data for unlimited downloads, low latency for seamless streaming and gaming, plus an unmatched fiber network for speeds that can't be beat. Find out for yourself. Go to armstrongonewire.com/zoom and get high-speed internet for as low as $34.95 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. Just internet made easy. That's Zoom Internet from Armstrong.